Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the PRF table. This is your host, Marianne Williams, known around the table as Mama. We are excited to be here with you once again on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we begin our monthly series for December 2017, which is Emergency Preparedness for Your Church. We are excited to have as our special guest host, Shelley Skeen, who will lead our dialogue for tonight's show. Without further ado, we bring on Shelley Skeen to the table. Good evening, Shelley.
Good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Great. I'm so glad to be here. This is such a great opportunity, and I'm so glad to be here. Thank you all for having me.
And I'm so glad that you decided you would be with us this evening to share. So we appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. My pleasure always. And definitely want to give honor to Dr. Dunlap and his wife, Kathy, and, of course, all the team at PRF and the supporters that listen to us, you know, here at the PRF table, and just grateful for the vision of the PRF Institute. So I'm excited about this.
Well, thank you. And now it's good giving you the opportunity now that you can share with us, you know, and tell us a little bit about yourself and emergency preparedness for your church.
Okay. Well, a little bit about me. Let me back up before I even get started. First of all, I want to say happy 5 years to the PRF table. How about that? We don't want to forget, the occasion. So not only is it just this last month of 2017 that we're coming on, but the next two shows are actually happening within the anniversary time. This month is the anniversary time for the PRF table. And 5 years have come and gone, and little did I know it, that I haven't been on Blog Talk Radio for 5 years. So, again, I want to definitely say happy five-year anniversary to the show, to Dr. Dunlap, the supporters, and, of course, the team at the PRF table. So we're excited for the five-year anniversary. For me tonight and also part two on next Wednesday, we want to definitely stay very clear, not just about who Shelley is, but about the topic. Because as a special guest host, you know, it's really great to be called that in reference as such. But this topic, it's part two of something that I believe is really major at this time and season where we are as a church in our society today. And the initial, I guess, if you will, the igniter, right, the thing that ignited me, or the series of events that began to ignite me on this topic for the church, started years ago, and emergency preparedness and safety for the house of worship became a big deal over the course of years as I began to see more accidents happen at the church houses of worship. And again, being the human resources consultant that I am for 15 years now, of doing human resources consulting, which has actually laid over into church planting. And Mama, I have spent years, probably 20-something years, into leadership in church planting, bringing new churches up, making sure that they are launched in a way that, of course, behind the scenes, what people don't see is when we're actually building structure, literally from the ground up, not just moving into always a prefab building. And my heart began to not only lean towards some of the things that we ignored as a church, but also other questions that came to my feet, somewhat on a reactionary, not a responsive or planned basis. And so church planting and experiencing some of the other concerns that came to me from pastors over pastors and leadership just over these past years.
Yes,
it's something that has been sparked also again now by society's events. So 15 years of Shelley is really 15 years of being able to say, you know what, I've seen this, I've done this, I've had to stand in the gap for people, and now it's time for us to just start being prepared and stop being, being prepared and not unprepared and being it's a word I'm looking for and I can't find it, where you're not reacting, you know, but you're planning for that
proactive.
And it'll come to me.
Proactive.
Proactive,
yes.
Yes. Thank you so much, being proactive and not reactive. And so this week and next week, I want to talk to us tonight about three things very simply, and I want to try to follow these 3 points tonight, Mom, because next Wednesday we are going to segue into some of the harder parts of this conversation. So if you are listening, this is going to be a broad overview of what does this mean to have emergency resources? What does this mean to think about and talk about safety for my house of worship? We want to start off with some general resources to really just bring your knowledge in. These are public resources that are out there on the internet that I pulled together just in my research, and it's not really a deep research. They're right there at use, even when you talk about emergency preparedness for your family, just as an individual in your own home. And then we want to talk about the responsible team. That's number two, the responsible team at our house of worship. And then number three, we're going to get to, and we're going to close out when we begin to talk about asking the right questions. And asking the right questions will segue us into next Wednesday as well.
Yes.
So, again, we want to just stay kind of broad tonight, Mama, and you know how we kind
yes.
of pre-talked. We had a pre-game show, right, a pre-game talk.
Yes.
So we're going to deal with general resources, just things that we need to know that's right there, that's public information, the responsible team, and then asking the right questions. So let's go ahead and get started.
More along
the lines of, and we're going to guide the conversation tonight.
Okay.
We're going to guide the conversation because I want to approach it from the way that I would approach it if I was sitting with a leadership team at a church.
Okay.
Which I've done many
that
times before.
Good.
Mm-hmm. If that's okay. So we're going to go in that direction. But let me say to our listeners, if you're calling in, of course, we have our dialing number, 347-215-7934. That's 347-215-7934. And if you're listening, you certainly can. We're going to try to make way for you and stop intentionally so that you can ask questions and comments and have comments. But if we miss it, you can press 1 at any time. And if you want to come in, we will definitely allow you to come in. 347-215-7934. If you're following us on Twitter, at Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr. That is our Twitter. And if you're on Facebook, we'd love your comments on Facebook, and that's PRF Institute on Facebook. So let's get started, Mom. Let's get started, if that's okay. So what I want to do is I want to hear from you, and I want you to describe, give it to me in short, describe your church. If I was, of course, I'm not there. I can't see it. I've never been there. And I want you to tell me exactly what I would see with your church. What would I see when I walk in, when I drive up, actually, not when I walk in. Let's go before that, because this actually, even the approach to your church, the approach of the grounds, as I approach, tell me what would I see, like the location. Is there a fence? Is the parking lot paved or is it rocky? And then when I come in, are there people at the door? Is there a desk at the door of sorts? And then some other things I'm going to guide you into.
All right, thank you. First of all, when you come to our church, you would have, as you're approaching our church, you're coming in, but you just can't come in and turn. You have to come all the way to the end of that road. Then you turn, because it's a medium there, and then we're right off the main street. And then as you turn, we have parking spaces for the handicapped. It's paved. And then when you getting out of your car, as you're walking, there's a few steps. So, you know, you have to be careful. We also have two people, two males at the door. And then as you approach, there is a welcome desk. And then as you're coming into the church, you know, it's a multicultural church, you know, and then we have our seating. And that's about it for the, you know, the approaching. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, we do not have a gate. We don't have a gate. But we do have a place where the young people can play basketball. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So a few things that you just brought up to me, and this is something I try to stress to churches a lot. And again, it's so simple, but at the same time, there may or may not be certain restrictions where people feel like if they're in rented property or maybe public property that may be a shopping plaza versus a standalone sanctuary that they've actually, you know, taken possession of, meaning that it is just standalone sanctuary. The first thing would be whether there is or is not a fence or gate. Now, of course, fencing is expensive. I do know that. That is for sure, and we're going to try to stick again with the simple. But fencing in and of itself, not only is it a big deal, I feel like, because sometimes you have so many issues with something that, again, especially if you have property where you use a no trespassing sign, where that alone can actually prevent a lot of concerns. So that's number one. Have you seen any signs on your church grounds that says no soliciting, no trespassing?
No.
Okay. So that's number one. That's something that, you know, I would definitely, if you were a church and I'm sitting in a consulting meeting, and again, what I'm wanting the listeners to hear tonight is that signage, the way we have things set up as far as liability, these are situations or opportunities to avoid situations, whereas especially in today's society, right, you know how volatile
yes.
our society is today. And again, without, you know, and I'm going to have to drag myself, you know, flag myself and pull my own coattail, but without touching the whole gun violence piece that's going on in church today, because we don't want to touch that right now. But
right.
having a no trespassing sign or a no soliciting sign or a no trespassing sign during hours of operation, you know, something of the sort. When you don't have a fence, you must utilize the poles or the boundaries that are on your church property. Now,
yes.
that becomes a problem, of course, if you are, and I'm assuming your church is a standalone church. Is that correct? You're not in a shopping plaza of sorts?
No, it's right off the, you know, it's right off the highway.
Okay, right off the expressway. So,
yes.
you know, that may or may not apply to other churches that isn't actually located in a shopping plaza. So here we are. So, again, let's talk about parking lot. Okay, so you all have paved parking, you
yes.
said.
Yes.
Okay. So what would that look like if there was rocky driveway? Churches who may have rocky driveway versus a paved driveway, you have
yes.
calls for sometimes, you know, slip and fall. Of course, you know, you can have
right.
slip and fall in a paved driveway as well. And then
yes.
You said there are two steps.
They're about 1, 2, 3, yes. Uh-huh. Two, and then it's flat, and then you walk in.
So on those steps, are there rails on the left and the right of those stairway, the two steps?
No.
No.
Any rails at all?
Is it?
No.
Okay. So not having rails on the steps means there's an edge somewhere on these steps.
Yes.
Like if you fall, if by mistake you're falling, that's it, right?
So, yes, you just, yes.
Yeah, so you just fall, so there are no rails on steps. Okay. That's another concern. Not having rails on steps. And I do understand that, you know, the Mr. Carpenter guy next door or Deacon such and such could probably utilize steps, I mean, utilize the you know, the wood from his shed or go to Home Depot and make quick rails. But again, not having rails on stairs is a big deal when it comes to insurance claims and slips and falls. So are there any signs that says, please watch your step?
No.
In or out of that door? So
no matter.
We already have, you know, a couple of concerns that just simply a sign would at least, you know, a sign would help.
Yes.
Right? It brings the attention to safety in our sanctuary and the liability. So let's look at this, Mom. Let's go to the next part. You said there are people at the door.
Yes. And they
are people,
they are, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Are those people male or female or both?
Okay, they're male. We have two males at the door. No, we have one male at the door. I'm sorry, one male at the door. And then as you enter in, then there are two males.
Okay.
So it's just
now,
one male at the door.
Mm-hmm. Are they recognized as your security, or are they just ushers or greeters?
They're just greeters.
Okay. So who is your security? Do you know going to that church, do you know and can you identify security? Do you have security?
Not that I know of. I mean, it's never spoken of, you know, only if, you know, when the weather is bad and everything. But we are in the church then. And then when the church service is ending, and he knows that my pastor knows that the weather's bad, he'll instruct us to be very careful, you know, as we go on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then another problem is that when people have a wheelchair, you know, we have quite a few elderly people in our church, and they mainly sit in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have one at the front, and we do have a door that they can go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
okay.
No. To go back to your question, they're not that I know of, because even sometimes myself, I have to walk slow sometimes, and then we have the person that's outside of the door.
Okay.
You
right,
know, he
right.
helps us. He helps us in.
Okay. So with these people, again, men, to your knowledge, they're not identified as security. They don't have a blue T-shirt on that says security on the back. And now with that, the question would be, who is at that door at any given time in an emergency? Would these people be the go-to? Or on Youth Sunday, is that a different set of people? Or on men, you know, if the men are in charge on a different Sunday, or if it's a special service, are these men, in your mind, capable of serving as security if there's a slip and fall outside, if there's an emergency, somebody has a flat tire, or somebody locks their keys in or slips, you know, when I say slip and fall outside, on those steps?
Well, that's what they do, and they also ask some other men, you know, to help them, you know, if someone does fall. And as I had said, that I remember that we had a brother, and this was New Year's Eve, and, you know, it's lit up in the back. And when they were playing basketball or football, he missed the football, and he, you know, hit his head, you know. And it wasn't really anyone out there at the time. And then one of the young boys came in and was saying, you know, I need help. And the wife is coming in and said, I need help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no security out there.
Right. So that brings us to and segues us into now what is special activity, which is going to be the next thing I was going to get to before we share the general resources. Because special activity also says, okay, house of worship, you have a special activity going on. So what are we doing? Here we go again with signage, right? In the event of an emergency, please report to, you know, who do we identify? Are we running into a crowded church saying, I need help, someone's fallen? Or do we exactly know who, and is someone on post and appointed for this special service, and they understand that they are the go-to?
Well,
in an emergency.
the way I heard it, because I wasn't there, but the way I heard it is that they ran into the church, you know, and got the help, and his wife also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So those are things that, again, the purpose for this show is to stress, you know, not just this topic, because we're talking about your church. I want the minds of the listeners to begin to actually go through their church as we're talking, and it's not going to be like this the whole time, but I want if you're listening to really think about, oh, you know, we don't have a sign if someone's to slip and fall. Do I really know who the go-to person is? You know, if we do have security, is that security the go-to person, or is that person just security? Is my deacon the go-to person? How old is my deacon? Is my deacon using a cane? No, we do have a nurse on staff. Or we do, you know, I want you as a listener, if you are in on the line or listening via archive, begin to walk through in your mind the things that, of course, may or may not be present. But at the other end of this, the purpose is to get you to ask why. Why isn't these things present? What if we need them? Should we have them? And so back to that activity, Mom, the first thing in my mind would be, where is the nurse? You know, some pastors have, quote, unquote, a nurse or armor bearer.
Yeah.
So where was the nursing team? And I want to share something with you, and I'm not asking you the question. I want to kind of move to the next piece. Here is the scenario, if you will, at one of the churches that I was at most recently when I was appointed. We pick about it often, and we call it the watch for eye. You know, that's what it ended up being tagged as, right? But I was the person who had to oversee and look for everything, literally up to and including, are we all on post and starting on time? If it was greeters, are the greeters on the door and on time? And that included a whole lot of other things. But something as simple as one of our greeters who had children, who was as faithful as anybody could be, but she had a flat tire one day, and she was just literally not even a mile from the church at the gas station. But she wasn't on post, hence the other ushers who were not the openers, right, who didn't open up for the person to be on post, right, for that department. She couldn't get there, and it left the other usher somewhat hanging, wondering where she was. And I needed to picked up the phone, called me. I was available. Hey, I got a flat. I'm sorry. Okay. I put an usher right at the front door so that no one would be coming through that door and it wouldn't be manned. Now, that doesn't sound like an emergency to anybody else, but I'm getting ready to walk you through some of my own scenarios that actually happened at a church where having a go-to list that said, here are your point people. This is who you call in an emergency, and how it helped operations flow. Sunday service was able to flow, and no one was missing.
Yeah.
Everyone understood, am I on point today or am I backup? So if I get called for backup and pulled out of service, that means Sister Susie Q, you know, something happened. Let me go and usher until she gets here.
Yes.
To us in that church in particular, having the perfect guest interactions and the perfect visitor touch, we called it seven touches, was very key for our pastor. And oh, by the way, if the parking lot ministry actually brought someone in with an umbrella from the, that's why I said stop me from your parking lot, remember, they brought someone and the visitors stopped, or even members when it was raining, if you had kids, we created a drop zone where you could get out and get your children in the door and then park. And if there was a slip or a fall from that door, we had enough hands there to prevent that.
Yes.
Raining
good.
Or not, you see. And these were things we implemented as a result of me being in that position. I could talk to the pastor and say, this is what I'm noticing. This is what we need here. You know, these are things that have to happen, because when it became when I feel like it became an opportunity for the entire church, they just saw a sign go up, please report here. Departments, they didn't understand what was happening, Mom. They saw a list distributed at their monthly ushers meeting, at the monthly media team meeting, you know, when the youth leaders met for the month. They just saw a list that started being distributed that said, okay, here's a list. We're going to set emergency. Everybody needs everybody's contact number. And in the event that you're not working, we're going to create a physical schedule. You know, who's on first and who's on second. And if you're not, if you get called from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock service, then this is why. Because we need you.
Yes, that's good.
You see how that works?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, that's real good.
Yeah. So a lot of what, again, becomes simple fixes, and I don't want to, again, bring it down, devalue it, but some of this can be major when you have members that are in place and when they approach and come to the church to do work.
Yes.
And then there's something going on that they can't get their work done. What does an usher do when someone falls at the door just as they're swinging it open? What does an usher do if they swing the door open the wrong direction, or what if it's a two-swing door and a child is behind the door and gets hit in the mouth with the door? You see, I could go on and on and on because I've seen it happen over the years. But let's do this. Let's get to our general resources. If there is a caller on the line and someone wants to come in at this time, at this juncture, before I go on to list and begin to talk about these general resources, let's press 1. If you're there, we want to allow you to come in, make some general comments thus far. If we have any callers, we definitely want to hear from you at this time before we go into the list of general resources. Again, of which we have been talking about things such as signage, but I'm going to give you a list of resources that, again, are right out there on the internet where you can pick these resources up for yourself and begin to read them. And if you find that there's something that you have a concern about, even while you're listening, and if you're listening to this via archive, you can inbox us on Facebook or message us on Facebook at the PRF Institute. And we want you to be able to ask that question, and I'll be following up with the PRF Institute Facebook page. But we want you to get the information and become better stewards over the people that come and approach your and sit with you 2 or 3 days out of the week for church service, whether that's Sunday, whether that's a Tuesday or Wednesday weekday study, or whether it's a Saturday and it's a lot of meetings, or whatever your, not to say that Sunday is your only church time. You may be Saturday and you may actually recognize Sabbath on Saturday. Whatever your days are, something as simple as rehearsals and meetings, and everyone's in and you have at least 15 to 20 people on the grounds. We should always be cognizant of our safety and become more aware in this day and time.
Yes.
So
one thing.
Go ahead, Mom.
I'm sorry. One thing that I'm concerned about is that, you know, in the church and in any of the churches that I have been in, I don't know, but I wonder if there's a fire, and you know. And I'm thinking about the elders because, you know, the wheelchairs to the side, and we sit, you know, we sit them in their seat and everything. But we also know that if there's a fire, they're going to be very fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get them out? I mean, it's never been discussed.
That is something that, you know, as I've gone on and consulted businesses, your fire department and churches especially that sit, you know, churches are old. Some people are still building new church, you know what I'm saying, new houses of worship. Yes, they are from the ground. But if you're in an older structure, what we call egress and ingress, that's the fire department word for that, ingress and egress, the way you come in and the way you go out, is it blocked? And, of course, accessibility, is it even wide enough for that matter? Those fire safety plans, that is a part of this same concern of, you know, the bulk of information that I share. And we're going to touch on the fact that, and I'm going to go ahead and jump over there because you brought that up, that's a part of the responsible team. This starts with partnering with those who are in your immediate reach as far as your community, your authorities. Every
yes.
church needs to have an annual inspection. Are our fire extinguishers, are they up to code? Do we have fire extinguishers still, you know, hanging in our church? And are the doors clear so that when we have to evacuate, do these people know who's assigned to them to help them get out? The usher helped them in the front door, right, or the door
yes.
that they come through. But everybody can't drop down, roll, and run, stop, drop, and roll, you know, if they're on fire or something. Who's assigned, right,
yes.
to our wheelchair-bound people, for that matter, that just may be seriously, you know, confined to a walker, you know. They may not
yes.
be in a wheelchair, but can come and go on a walker. Who's assigned to you, and do you know what your fire escape plan is? So that's something that, again, goes to the list of the responsible team, and we're going to go
yes.
through that list of responsible team, and the fire department is one, because we need to know what we need to do in order to get people out. And that's
yes.
just not, actually, not just fire, but look at the gun safety.
Yes.
No, we may not think to run out the door. But in case you're close to the door and you hear something going on, you may want to go out. Going out may not always be the safest thing, though. We know situations change and dictate different reactions. And then fear, of course, totally blows everything you know out the water at times as well.
Yes, and the children. You know,
exactly.
We have
children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shelly,
are they? Are, yes, go ahead.
I know you're about to transition over to the responsible team, but we do have a caller that wants to say something. So if you don't mind, let's bring this caller in since they've been waiting for a moment.
Okay, great.
And let's see what they have to say. And I think we're going to be bringing Mark to the table.
Hey,
so Mark,
hey.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How you guys
good
doing?
Good afternoon. It's fine. Thank you.
Good. I'm just listening and just glad to be a part of this conversation because it's pretty important. I don't think people realize how many lawsuits that ministries face because of these very things that Shelly is talking about. Believe it or not, they happen. People, because of the lack of preparedness on the ministry's behalf and unfortunately, some people are opportunists. And I have seen,
yeah.
well, I say seen, but I've heard of ministries having to have to shut their doors because of an incident or an accident, and them not being prepared and being sued for it. So I just think this is a great conversation piece, and I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark, you bring up a good point, and it was something that I was going I think this was on my next week's, but you bring up a good point. The overall concern may or may not be lawsuit, but it happens, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unfortunately, sometimes from the church aspect, and we know that, you know, somebody will take you to the Bible real quick. You know, you don't
yes.
sue the church.
Right.
Right.
Find it.
Yep.
Right. You know, they say that, right? You know, they say you don't sue a man, you sue no man, and you don't sue the church. What you going to sue? You know, they talk about it, but it ain't in there, right, Dr. Dunlap? Check it. Fact.
Absolutely.
Check it. So they take this one place in Scripture, they misconstrue it, and it becomes a we're all out of context argument, debate, but it is very true. Our
mm-hmm.
churches, do not know the laws. Our churches are not aware. They're not aware. If they were aware, a sign as simple as please watch your step, things as simple as put rails on your steps would be there.
Yes.
And Mark, I have, again, not only seen, and I tried my best to say that I wasn't going to come in with that, lead in with that statement, but that's a statement that I deal with when I'm in consulting. I immediately ask them, are you aware of any type of laws that would cause you for any reason to be sued? And you would not believe the answers and the responses that come back that are very short. No, I don't think so. You know, and I start walking them from the parking lot back towards the church, as I had Mama describe to us, you see, and slips and falls. And I always put on tennis shoes as I'm walking. And they say, oh, be careful right there. The sidewalk is a little, you see.
Yes.
Oh, be careful on these little raggedy old steps.
Yes.
You see. And I don't have to say a word.
Right,
I say, let's go back outside. And I want to just start from the parking lot. And there's a hole, and I see it in the parking lot, and I walk towards that hole on purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, oh, this hole right here. You know, I meant to tell Deacon such to fill this hole.
Mm-hmm.
You see, those are things that happen automatically, Mark. And it is so true. It is so very true. And thank you for that, because even Mom brought up that situation. She said where the gentleman fell, you know, hit his head or whatever happened on the football, out playing the football on the property. It was New Year's. But think about this. Not only opportunists are out there, and they are, but again, our members have no idea that when we invite the community out to something like Christmas and New Year's and Easter, when we have, and I shared this in our little pregame talk with Mama, but Mark, check this out. Special activities? Mm-hmm. You're talking about a lawsuit waiting.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
A lawsuit waiting. And I'll tell you, when Mama shared that with me, and Mama, we're not going to get into it because we're going to appreciate the fact that Mark did chime in, but that guy, Mama, yes or no, he's still dealing, his family's still dealing with the cost and the residuals from his injury. Is that right?
Yes, he's in a nursing home now.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
his
was
wife
a
had to do a spend down.
On her 401. And so that was a church member. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
So
now his faith has been there for years.
So that alone, you know, we don't even have time for an opportunist to come in here and try to make a lawsuit. We have things that are very honest activities that we're hosting, and injury, major injury can happen and impact our families. Where is the church financially? Where is our insurance policy? No, yeah, I'm just saying in general.
Mm-hmm.
We need to ask that question. Yeah, we need to ask that question. And we have, I have a friend who goes to one of our sister churches in Florida, and she shared with me, and Mark, I don't know how much you've heard of, but the special activity piece, this church in particular, they had a blow-up bouncy house on the property at one of the carnivals that they hosted, a carnival on their property, and a child died.
Wow.
Right there on the church property early Saturday morning. And the pastor began to tell the story. And she was talking about grief, but she happened to open up with that story because it hit her so hard. And I remember that time listening in that women's retreat at the time, talking about grief and how, I think she was addressing how pastors don't stop and really take time to grieve as pastors because we do so many funerals for our members, and how it was impacting her as a pastor. As a pastor's wife, and she began to tell that story when the whole time I'm missing her point, right? I'm totally missing it because all I'm thinking about is, are you serious? They didn't have insurance. Oh, my God, are you serious? And she began to tell the story about how their church wasn't prepared, and it was an affluent church, but they weren't prepared to take care of that family the proper way that they should have.
My goodness.
Shelly?
Yes.
Y'all done opened up the can. So I'm going to kick it around for a moment, and I'm going to try to step back out. I've been trying to hold my mule. But the place where we are right now is, according to your 1-2-3, is responsible teen. So
that's
I
right.
say this to everybody who's listening, leader and non-leaders. Leadership is responsible, first and
mm-hmm.
foremost. Because when we as leaders, and I'll throw myself in a wee bucket for a moment, but when we as
mm-hmm.
leaders say things like invite somebody,
mm-hmm.
pack the pews, bring your neighbors out, you need to bring people to the church house. Well, you want me to bring my people to a place they got some issues that's going to harm or potentially harm the people I'm bringing. So you want me to bring my whole crew during,
mm-hmm.
you know, CME, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter, right? You want me to bring my
right.
whole crew. But yet, all these things that you mentioned as far as general resources,
mm-hmm.
ain't nobody there, and my good Dr. English, ain't nobody there in
right.
leadership willing to act. I said willing, because let's truth be told, we know a lot of stuff. I could tell you about
mm-hmm.
a church right now that
mm-hmm.
is going through this same thing that is a very big liability
mm-hmm.
with something going on in that church, older church. And here's what I said to the pastor. I said, y'all keep doing all these special services to
mm-hmm.
get folk in here, get these offerings.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but I tell you what, let me fall. I'm suing you and the church. Well, how are you
mm-hmm.
going to sue me? Oh, see, listen, you got to understand something about the law. I'm a professor of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Personal law.
Mm-hmm.
I can sue anybody. I can sue Donald Trump if I want to, or President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's going to
mm-hmm.
stick, but it doesn't
mm-hmm.
preclude me from not being able to sue. So, you know, and until, and we deal with this a lot, this show, I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful you and I had the conversation,
yes.
which is why I was like, let's go ahead and just go ahead and do this, which is why I'm falling back, y'all, because we've been dealing with preparation and planning. Mark knows it. Mama knows. We've been dealing with that. That's where God has had us for the last couple of months.
Yes.
And we know things are going to be different, especially around the holidays. So this couldn't come
mm-hmm.
at a perfect time. Today there was snow. Kimberly
mm-hmm.
up in, not your sister, but Kimberly Silas up in Atlanta, she couldn't be on today because she's working. They're getting ready for the snow.
Mm-hmm.
So what about church tomorrow? You want folk to still be faithful? Let me get a... Y'all want folk to still be faithful and come out to church, but y'all ain't got no doggone salt?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So many things are so simple. And so, again, I can't pull any punches. If you are in leadership position and you're listening to this show, or if you are a member and you say that you love your leadership, I hear a lot of people talking about, I love my pastor, he this and she that. Okay, love them enough to say, hey, we ain't got no signs out here. And if somebody get hurt, that's going to be a liability. Now you put that on them. And the other thing is, you can also be the one that says, let me help you with this. Now, if I say to you, Shelly, and you, my pastor, and I say, Pastor Shelly, listen, we don't have any signs. They got this hole right here. Let me take care of that. Oh, I got somebody else. I'm going to give you one chance. But we come back next week and it's still not done. Then I got to go back to you and say, okay, let me go get somebody else to come back and say, listen, I brought this up last week. Now, this is an issue. Love means that you deal with certain things even though it's not comfortable.
That's good.
I'm out.
And you know, that is the key part is that I can no longer sit back because I've held this for years. I've been looking at it for years because people would call on me to say, hey, we want to plant a church, and they would use me for my administrative skill. But you know what, Dr. Dunlap, what would happen is the human resources person would come out always, and I'm guessing, if I could dare say it, they thought that human resources was just the secretary, the administrator, the person who could pull policy and write policy for them. But
mm-hmm.
the person in HR that came to them was the person who talked to them about data safety, the person who talked to them about lawsuits and making sure that the grounds and their care for, here we go again, their care for people once sitting, once approaching that property and participating, right? If I'm participating and I'm patronizing your service, how do we ensure that they are orientated correctly? Here's a new member's piece. There's a responsible team. How do we deal? Do we implement security issues in new members class? Are we really giving the leadership not only the tools, but are we giving them the power to also execute? If you see something and you have to go to like that hole in the parking lot, go and get another cone, not the cone that the children use over for their little games, the little short ones. Go to Home Depot and buy a $20, $30 cone, and we can immediately see that receipt go through the offering plate. Say, I had to go buy a cone today. There's a hole in the parking lot that was too big, and reimburse that person instead of saying, what you go buy this big old, who told you to spend $30?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
The human resources person came to them and said, wait a minute. No, this is HR. HR is a wealth of resources. For the humans, HR, human resources, you need resources for these humans that frequent this property. And that's been somewhat my outtake or my, yeah, that's what that's been, because leadership isn't always empowered to execute when they need it. You got a title, but everything got to run through the pastor, and the pastor, you can't even reach him. Or he knocks everything down because he comes in through the back of the church in the first beginning, and his back door is perfect and well-situated. Nobody uses it but him, so you don't even see what we see.
And everybody making sure that one is straight.
Yeah. Right, that entrance is straight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How dare there be a brick out of place coming into my entrance?
Yeah, you got four people, two opening your door, one opening your door, one carrying your stuff, and two people helping you up the steps. You don't have a problem. But Sister Susie Q that I talked about, Sister Susie Q, now you know what? You said something that is very true. You remember I told you the story about the usher that was right up the street, the one who, when you're working and you're wherever position you're in for ministry that Sunday, you know, supposedly you should get there about 30 minutes early, right?
Yes.
If you're the head, whatever, right? Yes. Guess what happened? In that same situation, and just as I'm talking to you, and this is true, in that same situation, I was pulled in by the head, the department head, who also served dually as the pastor's armor bearer. On the Sunday that Sister Susie Q was up at the gas station with the flat tire, and then I had to go and get who I knew was the next person to get, to send up there, right, to go and get her, make sure that she was okay, get that tire changed. A week or two later, I was pulled in with the pastor, with the head of the division department, and he was saying, well, everybody's calling your name, Shelly, you're not the head of this department, and I just thought it was time for a meeting with the pastor. And I had to say, hold on. The position that I'm in is for the sake of the people, so that in turn, if when you now are pulling double duty, leader, we didn't even think about this. Answer the question. We didn't even think about you can't be over the greeters and accessible to your greeters in an emergency for them, which was not signage or anything damaging, thank God, but it was your time to be armor bearer for pastor. Your phone's not on. And you're on our list as the go-to, but they can't reach you because your phone wasn't on. So that was actually something that helped us, right? Mm-hmm. It helped us say, oh, we need a plan B to him when he's doing what? In armor bearer position.
Yeah.
And he took it wrong, took offense to it, but come on. Leadership is responsible either way it goes.
Yeah.
So why are you trying to come down on me? And I'm in a position of leadership too. Thought I was trying to take over his usher's department because the girls were responding saying, oh my God, if we'd have never been able to reach Sister Shelley, I don't know what would have happened. This was awesome and great. And I didn't know it was being noised about, you know, amongst the people. But they were so grateful for that because she's always there. Like, she is always there. So at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock service, people were nervous when she didn't show up. this was like something happened to her, somebody called her. That's really like the tone that was set that morning. And leadership gets pompous, they get arrogant, they feel like it's, you know, we get so overprotective of our titles. I could go on, but I better stop.
Yes.
Come on. When
yes.
we're talking about safety of the people, this should be as open and as free as any, I mean, come on. You got to love people. You got to love people. And that that to her was expressed as love, like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad that we had somebody in place that I could call, and everybody else's phone was on silent, but Shelly's phone stays on vibrate on her ship.
Yes.
Wow.
For my sake as a leader so that I can serve effectively. But we're going to go on. So you're right. The responsible team is leadership. And let me run down these resources.
Oh, yeah.
Did we say thank you to Mark? Mark, are you clear?
Yes.
Did we say thank you to Mark?
Thank you.
We got off. We started something. So here's the quick resources. FEMA.gov, they have faith resources. It's FEMA.gov/faith-resources. The Red Cross, you can Google it. The Red Cross has a very simple packet there and a list that covers all your personal safety plan. It is for your home. It's not for a house of worship, but it's the same thing that can serve its same purpose. The Red Cross has safety plan and emergency packet plans and training there. Always go to the Red Cross and start. These are things I bring into the church. And Brotherhood Mutual. Brotherhood Mutual is a very vast set of resources on their website. Brotherhood Mutual is an insurance company. BrotherhoodMutual.com/resources and then /church security. They have tons and tons of resources on there with from child protective services, things that you can do to protect your youth, things that you can do to protect volunteers, real big thing on volunteers there. And I mean just tons and tons of resources there. BrotherhoodMutual.com. There's a resources tab at the top. And then when you click on that resources tab, church security. But I would encourage everyone to examine that website. And then, of course, there is a Michigan United Methodist Church. There's a guide that they have, and you can Google that, Michigan United Methodist Church, Michigan UMC. And they have a 26-page guide that speaks about your responsibility to the church, to the community, and special services to deal with different areas of security and emergency response awareness. So, yes, the responsible team is indeed leadership, and it does start there. It does start there. Go ahead, Mama. You have something to say.
Oh, I was just thinking about there was a church where I was a member, and I remember it was a big hole. You know, this was in Philadelphia. It never got fixed.
Mhm.
It never got fixed.
Mhm. Mhm. And the sad part is when things never get fixed. You know, all we pay and. Dunlap brought this up. If it doesn't get fixed, are we following up? Especially, again, what belongs to the city, as I said, when the sanctuary is situated in a shopping plaza, that's one thing, right?
Yeah.
We know that the city is reactive. We know the city waits for you to have an accident. You know, kind of unfortunate, they wait for somebody to die at the intersection before they put a red light up, you know.
Yes.
Right. But to have the population coming and going, and if you're a church, I think that does give you a little bit of weight and a little bit of push with the city, and then you should encourage churches who actually are located, such as yours, Mama, actually, if anywhere along that interstate, I mean your ramp part that comes into the church, the way you guys are situated there, the part that belongs to the city, you know, you can hit some holes that, and of course I know you're in Jacksonville, North Carolina now, but, you know, you can hit some holes in the city.
Oh,
you can't retire. Same in the country. But these are things that we should be concerned about just across the board. When something's not given attention and time has gone past, I think we should make noise about that and make as much noise as we need to make about it, because ultimately it will catch us. You hope that it doesn't. You know, we try not to speak demise, of course, on anyone. But why get caught? Why wait? Why stand by? You know, and
know.
That's where, go ahead, and that's where I am, you know.
And and also, you know, they have the chain of command, and so, you know, you can go to a pastor and you tell them what's going on, and they go to the deacon, you know, you know, go to the superintendent, you know, they have a superintendent, the deacon. And then he passes it on to the other deacon. So now you know who this deacon is, you know. And then they'll tell you, okay, we have, you know, the pastor has to prove everything. And then it just never gets done.
Right.
Because they have more, what they consider other priorities that's more important.
Yeah, let somebody fall, and then it'd be a priority.
Then it becomes a priority when somebody falls.
Yeah, that's what you just said. You know, Shelby, you just said that the city, sometimes when I do something, and oftentimes, unfortunately, that has become, I won't blanket statement this, but that has become a way of life, a way of conforming to the world, copying the world's type of customs, Romans 12, 1 and 2. That has infiltrated so many churches. And we know this because you're here with us. You're here with us today. You're going to be here with us next week because so many churches have conformed to the world. And can I throw a resource in there real quick?
Yes.
Maybe you could add this one to your list of resources. Maybe a scripture or two. Maybe good to add to a list of resources. How about Proverbs 11 and 2? Mark, you know this one. From our legacy conferences, right? Proverbs 11 and 2.
Right.
Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And I'll sit down. Real simple. Real simple. Because what will be a disgrace is the outcome of waiting until 15 accidents happen on Highway 80 next to the Wendy's before they put up a light. Well, they put up the light thing a couple of weeks ago on Highway 80, but they still don't have no green and no red showing because it's covered up. How long does it take to put up a light? Y'all done already had 25 accidents over the last year and a half, and you just had one last week. It would seem that somebody in the city planning commission, it would seem like somebody on a deacon board, it would seem like the executive or the assistant pastor would say, we can't afford for this to happen again. And I say for us, because just because it hasn't happened at your church, mama, look at church as church. And so when people in the streets start talking, right, this is where this disgrace comes in at, they start talking about that church. They may mistake your church from the church next door to you. You know it's one on every corner. And so now you got your black eye in your community because something that happened in somebody else's church. So the disgrace is not what's going to necessarily happen in your own house. It will happen also within the larger context of the church. And we can't afford that. There's already enough foolishness going on. All right, I'm going to sit back down.
And to close this, because we are at the end of our conversation, because asking the right questions is exactly what we just said. But, see, you said that the disgrace is the lawsuits that Mark mentioned. How is it that we have told our doors from a lawsuit? If it gets that far, but we have so many people in that knee-knocking, nervous situation that, or not even nervous about it, they may just be akin to, you know, this belief that, well, I can't sue the church, I'm just going to the hospital, you know. But the disgrace is when one of our family members, such as in Mama's church, this man is yet still being impacted in his family and their finances. What has the church done on an ongoing basis? Do we even have finances to sustain this family in some way, contribute in some way on an ongoing basis, because this happened on our church property to one of our faithful members who's been here forever. You see. So let's look at this, asking the right questions. Are there signs up? Do we see things that just kind of bring flag to our attention? If we don't have the signs, it's as simple as printing it from the computer and laminating it. It doesn't have to be a sign, you know, purchased out of the hardware store. Laminate the sign really good, big, bold writing. Stick it up wherever we need to stick it up at. And if you got to buy one of those plexi covers, the little flyer protectors, get that and affix it to the light post outside or somewhere. Get a sign made and put it up to the least of things. I'd hate to think that we would see signs that says, you enter at your own risk. Right? This is not a swimming pool. Come on here. This is a church. That's one of my favorite jokes. It's not one of those. But this, but if we are a bit, this is, and you know what, this is what gets me when I start talking about asking the right questions. I don't know why people are debating it. I know what they're saying, but I still don't understand it. People talk about church is not a business, and I'm not saying it's a business for profit. I understand 501c3 foundation. I understand the rules and the laws of which that shape a church. Some churches to this day, been around 40 years, still do not have an active, current standing 501c3 because they feel like a 501c3 is Uncle Sam's way of snapping, you know, their foot into some trap. Whatever, I leave that alone. But if you are in a church building, I wish sometimes that I could just have people pull their insurance policy out. Do you even have the proper level of insurance? No, this should not come up at a random, pick up the phone and call your pastor. Lord knows I'm not saying do that because you're going to start a fight. But I am saying that at the annual meeting, if you even have annual meetings, and when that annual meeting comes up, and again, reason for having that fire department come out every year, I would definitely say that we need, somebody needs to be sliding that question on the index card to the front, and when they're gathering questions for the annual meeting, and you're talking about the financial reportings and all of the outreach numbers of people who've been reached this year, and the success on the trips, and all the divisions are reporting their mission successes all out of the country. What is the status of our insurance, and is our insurance up to date? If so, or if not, are they even addressing, okay, it's time to pay the insurance, it's time to do this? Are we where we need to be with the proper coverage? Mm-hmm. Period. You know, so asking the right questions at the right time, let me say, is very key. Because, again, these responsible team members don't just stop at leadership. It is your fireman. It is your outside accountant. It is your IT person who takes care of the computers, who's really responsible for that data if something happens, which we didn't get into that. We'll get into those things next week. Are we in place with, you know, again, security, the local police department? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I would like to also add, is leadership approachable?
Oh, wow. Now, Mama, you're going to start something.
Mama about to start some mess.
She about to start something.
I have been there. It's just so, you know, are they approachable?
You know what? Are they approachable? Let me go ahead and make a shameless plug. That's what I'm here for. If you're listening by archive, if you're listening live tonight, listen. That's why I'm here. I'll be honest with you. If you feel as if your leadership is not approachable, then I am going to make myself available, because this was not the intent for these two shows, and I have another show on the 19th on another Blog Talk Radio platform as well. I'm beginning to do other Blog Talk Radio platforms. this was not to sell me and what I do as a consultant by any means. I'm ultimately going to have my material in place because I've done it without material, and now I realize that this needs to be more of a honed-in material type, you know, presentation, because it is all public resources, but it's time-consuming. And as a FEMA-certified inspector mom, I take the brunt of the impact right off of the lay member to say, you know what, hey, Miss Shelley, great information. I heard that you do thus and so. I'm not sure if our leadership is approachable, so can you send me a pamphlet or something I can kind of just pass on? Then yes. That is why I am here. That is why I am beginning to publicize what I do, when in turn what I did, you know, over the years came by way of me being members of these churches. So I've done this firsthand. And to this day.
And another thing, too, in some churches, if you do not pay tithes and offerings, then you are not allowed to be in the annual meetings.
Mama, you're killing
Mama. Why Mama slapping folk in the head? Where did this Mama come from? She don't be doing all this on Thursday night.
She sure don't know how to yank her son's chain. I know that.
I mean, you don't.
She tried to pull
me
in.
You're not allowed.
Mama, you go.
Yeah.
Put Mama on mute. Put on mute, Dr. Dunlap.
Yeah, let me go ahead and mute this real quick.
You start, so.
Let me say this real quick.
Go ahead.
Shelley, what you said is key, and this is where, we can keep on going, but this is where I want people to hear, because, you know, we crack jokes here at the table, you know, we laugh, we make things sound a certain way sometimes, but the truth of the matter is this: asking the right questions at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
See, that other resource, Proverbs 11:2, you know, that's wisdom literature. Mm-hmm. Pride leads to disgrace or leads to shame, mm-hmm. but with humility comes wisdom. Sometimes the pride is on the member.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Just because you don't went to your pastor one time, and I hate to even put a pastor like the pastor's God, but just because you went to that particular leader one time, what's to say that you can't do it five or six times?
Mm-hmm.
You want forgiveness five or six times.
Mm-hmm.
So stop being prideful five or six times. Keep going back to him. Keep going back to him. Keep going back to him. You share everything else on Facebook. Share a situation that wasn't so pleasant at another church. Say, Pastor, we don't want this to be us. You share everything else. So, I mean, the truth of the matter is, it's a two-way street. I know I'm hard on my colleagues, and rightfully so, because I'm a leader. And we see the back end of a lot of things as we're trying to be proactive on some things. So, you know, it is definitely a two-way street. And I want people to just really grab a hold to what you said when you said asking the right questions at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
You already know when you go into that business meeting, if you ain't, quote-unquote, like Mama said, paid your tithes, they ain't going to listen to you and you're going to get shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well say it at some other time. Or you might as well go ahead and write your check before the meeting so you can have your voice. There's ways of doing things, but you got to use the wisdom of God to address some of these things. And I'll say this. I desire, and this is me, I desire for there not to be any church out here that doesn't take some action before the holidays really kick in. That's my desire. We don't bring guests on and have guest hosts in these topics that God gives us. We don't do these just to do them. We do them because there's purpose in it. God is leading us to do whatever show. Trust me, none of these shows that we've had this year, I can say definitely because I can't think about all the other ones, but definitely for this year, it's because I just wanted to talk about something. And even last year, I can go back and think that far back. This is because God is saying, look, there's some things coming. And I'm trying to get y'all prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get prepared, you won't be some of the ones that's living in disgrace or living in shame because you weren't prepared. It's not going to be a pleasant situation if something happens, but it won't be because y'all didn't have your affairs in order.
Right.
My shame is
closed. Yes.
So we don't want church folk saying about their churches, why they leave me in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll place the blame on the church really quick.
Mm-mm.
Just like when you go in the Waffle House or go in the Walmart and, God forbid, you slip on a dime and you twist your ankle, will have no problem putting in a claim, doing workers' comp. Well, take that same, you take that same attitude with the church. But we don't want to see people doing that frivolously, because again, that's their right. You know, you're hurt, go ahead and do what you got to do. But doggone, I want to think about all these churches, Shelley, that's already tripping, begging folks for tithes and offerings, selling chicken plates, fish dinners. Not saying, I'm just throwing it out there like mama. I'm throwing, doing one of mama's numbers. Doing these things to raise money and try to, all this stuff going on. But there are some simple ways of doing it with God.
It's good.
There's some simple ways of doing it with God. So you have to figure out. You have to ask God, God, give me the wisdom. And he's not going to get it to everybody. With your non-tithe paying self.
Mm-hmm.
With your position, I mean, he's not going to give it to everybody. So let everybody just stop thinking he's going to speak to everybody about everything. No, he'll speak to who he wants to speak to. But being able to ask the right questions. If you can't go to somebody in the right spirit, I don't care how much the question is valid. I promise you, folk are not going to listen. Don't go up to them. Can I throw this one, Shelley? Don't go up to certain people after a service, trying to get something that you know got to have a conversation with somebody else. You're not going to get the response you're looking for, even though you think it's important, and it is important. But doggone, you saw this 2 weeks ago. And you've been to church 4 times since then. What makes your urgency right now?
Yeah,
I'm going to ask that question. You come to me. When did you see that? 2 weeks? Well, I mean, is there something going on? You know, did God give you a vision? You know, what's going on? But yeah, Mama, see what you do, Mama? I'm trying to be quiet today.
And, you know, I want to add, too, that when there is a problem, don't, discuss it with everybody in the church, then go to leadership. By then, it's all twisted. And knowing that it's good, we'll get back to the pastor. I used to work for a pastor and as a second secretary, and things get back to. So if there's a problem, I see this hole here. I don't need to get on the phone and talk to about 6 of my sisters in the church. Then I get an attitude about it. So by the time I go to him, as you were saying, my attitude is not right. I have them edge me on. Well, you be the one to say something. You be the one to say something. No, we do things decent and in order. Amen.
Certainly, certainly. And, you know, with all that we've said, you know, let's prepare to bring this to a close, because where we are for next week is really going to hit the tough topics. It's really going to hit the tough topics, and we want to give our listeners a chance to, of course, chime back in one more time. But next week, we want you to tune in. We want you to invite somebody to listen in. We will be talking about sexual assault. We will be talking about an active shooter on campus. We will be talking about not just an active shooter on your church campus, but we'll also be talking about whether or not we know and are aware of people who may actually be certified and licensed with the proper permits that are gun carriers, that just may be the right list that we need in the event of a major emergency. Do I know that Dr. Dunlap is a veteran and he is certified, and I don't know if he has his carry concealed, but anyway, you know, do we even know who carries in our church personally? You know, just heaven forbid, he's been able to, I'm being hypothetical, but does your church know that you're even able to carry, just personally, you've been carrying the whole time, and if we ain't going to have no guns in our church, well, I've been carrying my gun in my car forever, what you talking about, you know, we're going to touch on those things, natural disaster, inclement weather. You know, inclement, and people don't know that I carry. People don't know that I've always had my weapon in my car, because you cannot carry it in the church, but it's been in my car because I'm a veteran and I have my carry concealed, and I'm licensed and permitted to do so. If ever there was something that needed to go down, security or no security, I'm prepared if I was able to get to my car, you know.
Yes.
But does my church know that? Does anybody in my church know that I'm the safety point in the event that no other safety is around? Not to belabor that. Natural disaster, inclement weather, when power is out, again, activity liability, we're going to get into that a little bit more. And the real big deal is information and data security. Is anybody typing in tithes and offering? And if you're typing in my tithes, my offering, my address, my credit card number, and you're processing, who's taking care of and protecting this data security? We're going to get into this next week. We're going to deal with the hard questions next week and get to the topics that really, really matter. Mark, if you have any last words, thank you so much for chiming in. We want you to have some closing words.
Like I said, I'm just happy to be here. And you're absolutely right. There are so many things. The church is a microcosm of the world. And basically, it's a mini world inside of it. And there are things that we have to deal with. I do agree that there are things that we have to deal with differently in the body of Christ that you can't necessarily take over into it. But like you said, there is a business aspect of that that has to be taken over into that. And that's just being honest about things. And I'm really excited about next week, where you really can start back peeling back the layers and going a little bit deeper into things, like you said, the gunmen's and things of that nature, because there's so much stuff going on in the world today, in the house of God, and honestly, it shakes the believer, it really does. And so we got to have something in place, practicality as well as the spiritual side, to combat these things. And so I'm just excited to see what you have going forth into next week, because I know as we peel back the layers, it's going to be pretty good. So I'm just grateful to be a part of it.
Well, certainly. Mark, if you would, go ahead and just close us out here at the PRF table tonight and extend that invitation. And, you know, I'm good and my heart is clear. So if you would, go ahead and extend that invitation to the people, and we can go ahead and end on that note.
Okay. And we would not dare end the show if there's someone listening. If you have not received the Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're opening the door for salvation. And all it takes, and the Word of God says, it is a confession of the mouth and a belief in the heart. If you believe that Jesus Christ was born, he died, and he was raised again from the dead for your sins and mine, thou art saved. You are immediately sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we want to give you that opportunity today, at this moment, because, and I say this all the time, and it's the truth, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, today is a gift, that's why we call it the present. So choose this day, this gift that we're offering. In Jesus' name, I'll turn it back over to you, Shelly.
Okay, thank you all so much for joining us here on the PRF table. We look forward to speaking with you on next week. Spread the word, stay in tune, and stay in touch with us on Facebook of the PRF Institute, by Twitter, Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr., and we will speak with you all and be right here at the PRF table, pulling our chairs up with our plates ready to be fed with wisdom and knowledge that will help you with emergency preparedness and safety awareness for your house of worship. Again, on behalf of Dr. Dunlap, his wife Kathy, the PRF team, and our supporters of Blog Talk Radio, we want to say thank you and good night.